Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A proclamation from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Now Jesus called the 12, and he gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases, and he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, not a walking stick, not a sack, nor food, nor money. Don't even take a second tunic. And whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. And as for those who do not welcome you, when you leave that town, shake the dust from your feet in testimony against them. Then they went out and they went from village to village. They proclaimed the good news. They cured diseases everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord. I want to talk about prayer this morning, and according to Paul, and how he describes prayer. And in my career as a priest, certainly I've done a lot of praying, and so have you as a Christian. And as a preacher, I've preached a lot about praying, but I'm going to approach prayer in kind of a new way that I haven't before, and hopefully you'll get a lot out of it. I heard if the president were to walk into this room right now, into this church, everybody would stand up. But if Jesus were to walk into this room, everybody would kneel down. And that's what prayer is all about. It's about recognizing who God is and about worshiping and adoring. Prayer is so very, very important. Of course, Eucharist is a prayer, and that's why we come here. And it is our lifeblood as Christians. Now, there's so many different forms of prayer. There's liturgical prayer, what we're doing right now. Liturgy of the Hours is another form of liturgical prayer. There's contemplative prayer. That's the prayer of listening. There's the rosary. Many of you are praying the rosary here this morning. There's all kinds of different ways to praise and to thank God, you know. But I want to concentrate specifically on this prayer of supplication or intercession. Prayer is about listening, and many of my teachings talk about that. But I don't have all day to break open everything on prayer. So I thought I'd concentrate on some of Paul's thoughts about this speaking, this intercession, this supplication that we all do. We're praying for ourselves, for others, for our family, you know, and all that different type of things. And I want to say, first of all, as I begin, that God does answer prayer. Oftentimes we think, gee, you know, it doesn't seem to be working. What's going on here? Is it because I don't have enough faith or I'm not saying the right things? Well, Let me just explain in many words here. We have to pray prayers of wisdom. We have to pray prayers according to God's will, and I'll break that open in a little bit. And this is exactly what Paul did. But let me just give you a couple of examples to buoy up your faith about prayer that does work and has worked in my life. I remember, for example, I was driving down the road visiting my mom down in Florida, and we were going down Route 1 in her hometown. It's called New Smyrna Beach. And as we were driving down the road, right there on Main Street, right down in the center of town, was this, it was called Intimate Videos. And I looked at it and I go, Mom, what's that? And she said, well, that's one of those sex shops, you know, where they sell all that stuff. And she said, we at the church, we've been praying about that, trying to get that place closed down, you know. And I thought, you know, I didn't say anything to her, but I thought, you know, I'm going to pray that too. And every time I went by there, and I would go by there frequently, I would pray something like this. I'd say, Lord, close that place down. Make it hard for them. I pray they won't make any money. You know, it's hard enough in business to make money and to do things. I just said, make it difficult. And you know, and I would just pray a little prayer as I drove by there each time. Well, you know, a year later, that place is still open. They've got lights on the outside, Christmas lights, and it blinks and everything. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know if this prayer is working. I don't even know. You know, sometimes it just doesn't seem like God works. You know, it's like, do you even work sometimes? So, you know, I continued to pray, you know, believing that that was what God wanted. And then just to let you know, I came by there last Easter, this year, Easter, I visited my mom. And I just happened to look over there. It was all cleared out, and there was a big sign on the window. It said, "For rent." And I thought, wonderful, they did, look at that, you know, and it was like, well, is that a coincidence, or did, now I'm questioning, did God really do that, or was that a coincidence, or, but look what happened, you know, the place goes, I went back in August last month to visit my mom, that for rent sign is still there. So not only did, was that place closed, not only did God close down that place, they can't even rent it anymore. So, you know, was that a coincidence? Was it God? I like to say that sometimes coincidences are God incidences and God's miracles. You just have to see them. You have to be a believer. I believe that God closed that place down. He made it hard for that person, got him out of town. And speaking of coincidences and prayer, did you ever hear the story about this man? He's in the parking lot. It's a full, you know, parking lot. It's at the mall. And he's driving and he's looking for a parking space. He couldn't find one. You know, nobody seemed to be leaving. So he prayed. He goes, "Lord," he said, "I know I don't go to church and I hardly ever pray, but if you give me a parking space, I am going to go to church this Sunday." Right at that moment, a car backed out. And he goes, "Never mind, Lord, I found one." So wait a minute, you know, coincidences can be God's answer to prayer. And oftentimes, you know, prayer isn't always answered right at the minute. And let me tell you more about that. I had some very successful missions in Florida years ago, down in southern Florida. I got asked to go down there. It's the Naples area down in southwest Florida. Big, huge. This would have been the Blessed Sacrament Chapel to that church. And we're talking, I remember one mission, there were 1,700 people attending that mission. It was this huge church, and it was packed because those people, they come from the north, you know, Massachusetts, New York. They hear I'm from Massachusetts. They want to hear me speak. And, you know, they all come down and they love to go to the missions. Well, they're down there in Florida in the winter. And well, anyway, after a couple years of missions down there, I pretty much hit all the churches and then it kind of dried up. And I wasn't really getting any more missions. And I started praying, "Lord, you know, although I've got plenty of missions in different places in the country," I said, "Lord, you know, I'd really love to stay in Florida, especially in the winter. It's nice weather, you know, lots of people. Please open that door for me in Florida." And nothing was happening. I still wasn't getting really any missions down in Florida. And I started to get discouraged. And I thought, well, maybe God doesn't want me in Florida. And, you know, I'm going other places. But, well, finally I gave up praying that way. But I had prayed. And then about 2 years ago, something interesting happened. You know, I developed TV programs. And lo and behold, they have a Catholic TV station in Orlando, Florida. I submitted my programs to them. They loved them. And now I'm on every week all over Central Florida. Last month, I was invited to the church. I preached the TV mass 2 weeks in a row. They've invited me back in February to give a talk about St. Paul. I've gotten missions in that area because of that, speaking engagements. And I'm thinking, you know, those prayers that I prayed long ago didn't happen like that, but the manifestation came in a way I didn't expect, more abundant than I ever expected. TV shows, who would have ever thought of that? And, you know, other speaking engagements, people are getting to know me there. My teachings are being spread all over Central Florida. And it's just amazing. God can do more, the Bible said. This is what Paul says, more than we can ever dare to ask or imagine. So don't limit God by your doubts. You know, just keep believing. He does answer prayer, but here's the key. It has to be prayers according to his will. Okay, it's not just according to your flesh and what you want. If you were here last night, I was talking about the flesh. That means your fallen nature, you know, your desires. Remember what I said about the flesh? It just wants everything. It's always hungry and it always desires stuff. Well, you're not going to just get what you want. You're going to get what you need according to God's will. And that's really, really crucial. In the Our Father, remember what Jesus had us pray. He said, "Father, your will be done." And that's a crucial. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when his flesh wanted out, You know, he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And that is so crucial. We have to pray according to God's will. So let's look at how Paul prayed. You know, I love what he said in Romans 8:26, and this is one of the key to my preaching here this morning. He said, we don't know how to pray as we should. Please get that. We don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit helps us. And again, if you were here last night, I'm going to go back to this whole thing of flesh and spirit. The fleshly part of us prays for what we think we want, you know, but the Spirit knows what we really need. So we don't know how to pray as we really should. We're kind of immature that way, but the Spirit, who knows the will of God, who knows the heart of God, will pray through us. And that's why I prayed as we began Mass. I pray that the Spirit will come upon you in a way to revolutionize your prayer life. And as I studied Paul, my prayer life's being revolutionized. Not only am I praying, but I'm trying to pray according to God's will. And that's different than just praying. And so let me break that open to you. For example, you know, all of our life we grow up praying and we know about how to pray and different things, but Paul's letters are saturated with prayer. And he's always praying for different people. Notice some of his prayers. He prayed, and you got to understand this, these are communities being persecuted, going through tribulation. He's in prison when he writes many of these. Never do you hear him say, I pray that your persecutions will go away. Never does he pray, God, get me out of prison. Rather, these are some of the prayers of Paul. I pray that you will be grounded and rooted in God's love. He prayed for maturity. He prayed that we would know God intimately. He prayed that our love would abound toward others. And then he prayed that we would know the will of God. That is so important. We pray for health and wealth. He's praying for maturity. He's praying that we know God intimately. He's praying that we abound in love, that we know the will of God. And again, you know, these communities were undergoing all these tribulations, and he wasn't praying for that. He was praying rather that God would take them through the tribulation, that they grow as they go through, and that their sufferings would bring them maturity. Now, those are beautiful prayers. Those are what I call wisdom prayers. Now, I have a website, Father Cedric, frcedric.org. I update it daily, updated it this morning. There's video clips, there's all kinds of different things. I have a place where people can pray. And when people send me a prayer request, I answer those personally. People think, oh, I have a secretary that does that. No, I do them all. And I pray with these people. And I get prayer requests for things like this. These are the five general areas that I get. Jobs, you know, Father, I need a job. Pray for me. That's what I'll get. Finances, you know, we're economically poor. We need your help. Pray for me. Relationships, everybody's struggling with somebody. Health, pray for me, I'm sick, or I've got arthritis, or whatever. And then your future, or your children, you know, those type things. And never do I hear something like this, Father, pray for me to mature and grow in Christ. Never do I get a prayer that they would know the height and the depth and the length of God's love, like Paul prayed. Never do I get a prayer that they abound in love and fulfill the call of God on their life. And I never hear a prayer that their sufferings would bring them endurance and virtue and growth and character, like Paul prayed. See, I call these wisdom prayers. I call these prayers according to God's will. Now, I'm not saying, of course, that you don't pray for your finances or for health and for different things, but you try to pray in a way that is according to God's will. For example, I get these prayers quite often. Father, my son is addicted, he's an alcoholic, smokes, he's into drugs, you know, whatever it is, whatever addiction they have, would you please pray for him? And what I think people, when they send in a prayer request like that, I think this is what they're after. They really believe that if I pray because I'm a priest, that somehow God Almighty will deliver their son in a powerful way from this addiction. And that's, you know, that's what most people think, and that's okay, you know, it's understandable is what I mean. It's not okay, it's understandable because, you know, God can do everything, and they're showing a lot of faith in asking for prayer, and I'm not poo-pooing their prayer request. But this is how I pray. When I get a request like that, I say, Lord, I pray that this young man will face his issues, that he'll come into recovery, that he'll have the courage to change, and that he'll find you through this. Most people don't think about that, that it's their responsibility to change. They just want God to do the deliverance, this, you know, holy moment. And really, what needs to happen is the person needs to take responsibility for their own life. That's what we've got to pray for. That's prayers according to God's will. Or for example, this. Sometimes people will pray that their child will come back to the faith. I have this all the time because, you know, you have children, grandchildren. Probably many of them don't go to church. That's your heart's desire as a mother and a father. Father, you know, pray for my child to come back to the Catholic Church. It's a great prayer. It's very understandable. But here's what I pray. I don't just say, may your daughter come back to the church. I pray this. Now get this. I think this is a wisdom prayer. Lord, I pray that you will send this person a season of suffering in their life so that they will awaken to your grace. I've studied conversion. I wrote a book about change. And you know how conversion happens? People get uncomfortable. They go through suffering. You're not going to change if you're comfortable. You don't want to change if everything's going well in your life. So what am I saying? That you pray for your children to suffer? Yeah. You know, in the right way. That's how I came to Christ. I went through a major tribulation in my life, a breakup, a hurt. You know, I was lonely, and I needed God. That's when I found out. But if you're comfortable and happy and everything, who cares? So, you know, you pray for that in the best sense. Of course, you know, you don't pray that they break their arm or something or get in a car accident. But God can arrange things to happen. It's amazing. So what I'm saying is you try to understand God's will and pray mature prayers. And let me just go on here and just watch the way you pray. That's what I'm saying. When you pray, just don't get up there and start spouting off out of the flesh. Say, Holy Spirit, pray through me. Use me right now. Intercede through me. Remember, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit helps us. You got to understand that you are like a vehicle. You're a vessel of the Spirit praying to God. God is using you to pray to God. You're becoming one with the will of God. It's awesome. So anyway, watch the way you pray. For example, here's how a lot of people pray when they sin. I do too sometimes, and I catch myself. Lord, forgive me. I blew it. You know, I sinned here. You know, I gossiped, I did whatever. And, well, here's what I've discovered. God has already forgiven you. He's very merciful. You don't need to ask him to forgive you. He's already forgiven you. You've been forgiven at the cross. For example, when we celebrate reconciliation, you're not being forgiven. You're receiving the forgiveness that God has already given you. So here's a better prayer. Lord, I've sinned. I believe that you've forgiven me. I pray to receive that forgiveness right now and to be cleansed from my guilt. See, now I think that's a beautiful prayer. You're trusting that God has forgiven you. You're not saying, please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me. Look, he's forgiven you. Look at the cross. Say, Lord, I receive your forgiveness. I want to be healed of the guilt. I want to be reconciled to you. And it's amazing. You pray a prayer like that? Wow. And then how about some other ways, really quickly? Lord, heal me. You know, we all got aches and pains. I was talking about that yesterday. Lord, heal me. You know, we all want that taken away. Well, like I said before, he can. I distinguish between cure and healing. Of course, we're praying, Lord, cure me. How about a better prayer? Lord, I pray that my sufferings, I don't want them, and if it be your will, take it away, but I pray that my sufferings will help me to grow in character and in virtue. And I talked about that yesterday. So don't waste your suffering. You know, pray about it in a good way. And those are prayers that will be answered, I believe. And then how about if you have a difficult person in your life? Most of us pray, Lord, please take this person away. They're annoying. I don't like them. They bring out the worst in me. And how about praying something like this? Lord, I pray for the grace. You need to help me here. This person, I have an aversion to them. I don't like being around them. But you know what? I believe I can grow. I pray for the grace to accept them just the way they are, to be stretched, and to become a forgiving person. Those are prayers that are going to get answered. I can tell you that right now, because they hurt. You know, those are wisdom prayers. So what I'm saying is, folks, don't just spout out, you know, when you're praying. Don't just say things that you think you want. Let the Spirit teach you and pray through you these wisdom prayers. And God will answer those when you pray according to God's will. You will grow in character. You will grow in maturity. You'll be rooted and grounded in God's love. See, this is the wisdom of Paul. Paul was such a beautiful apostle. He had this depth to him, this great wisdom. His prayers were answered. He went through all kinds of sufferings. God never really delivered him from the sufferings, but went with him in the sufferings. He grew in character, and he prayed for his churches, and look how they flourished and grew. And now Christianity, 2,000 years later, this wonderful community around the world. So, you know, you probably know this already, some of what I've said. You just need to be reminded of it. It's really important. God doesn't always give you what you want. He gives you what you need. So let me kind of wind down now and just say a few other things about prayer. I want to tell you that prayers are answered. You got to pray according to God's will. You got to pray these wisdom prayers. Let the Spirit flow through you. And then let me say this. Be faithful in prayer. No matter how hard it seems, no matter if it doesn't seem like you're getting answers or it doesn't seem like it's working, don't give up. And most of you are older than I, and you've probably been a lot more faithful than I have in prayer. But let me just say this. I was talking about love the other morning, and a lot of times people think, well, I ought to be feeling all these different things, and I ought to be seeing all my prayers answered. And when you're not getting your prayers answered, so you think, or you're not feeling comfort or glory when you're praying, you're thinking that something's wrong. Well, let me say that first of all, prayer is your love gift to God. We're trying to praise and worship God. And remember what love is. It's a giving thing. Words of affirmation. Quality time. So what we are primarily, we're not looking for things from God. We're giving to God. God has given us every heartbeat, and every breath is from the Lord. So in return, we praise him and we worship him. If he gives the feelings, great. If we see the manifestation of the prayer, great. But our primary role is we praise and we worship and we pray and we give thanks. And we do it because we love God. He's done everything for us. And what return can I make to the Lord? This is a psalm. The cup of salvation I will raise as a priest. That's what I do. I give thanks. I worship. I praise. Just look at today. You know, every day is such a gift. So you give back. Whether you receive, quote, comfort or manifestations or not, you do it and you stay faithful. Paul the Apostle was faithful, but let me tell you about St. Paul of the Cross. St. Paul of the Cross, not Paul the Apostle, St. Paul of the Cross. He's the founder of the Passionist community, my community. He lived in the 1700s in Italy. And he was a great apostle, great preacher, spiritual director, lived to be 81 years old. They say for the last 40 years of his life, he was dry inside when it came to prayer. Now, here's a saint, spiritual mystic, going through a desolation in a desert for the last 40 years of his life. But what I love about Paul and what makes him a saint is he didn't quit and he didn't give up. A lot of people think, you know, when they're in the honeymoon phase, they're feeling all the glory and all the comfort and everything, and they're, oh yeah, I love to praise and to pray and everything. Then all of a sudden the feelings get taken away, and then they say, this is horrible. You know, I'd rather watch TV. Well, that wasn't Paul. You know, he stayed with it. He stayed faithful. And what was happening in him was endurance was being garnered. Long-suffering was becoming. Patience was growing. And that's a part of prayer that you don't understand. It's in the act of praying itself that you start to grow, whether you're feeling anything or not. And that's an answer to prayer. You know, God may be giving you an answer to prayer that you don't even know. And the answer to prayer is you're growing as a person as you're praying. And that's what God is after. Remember what Jesus said? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And he talked about that right after he talked about prayer. So it's faith that he wants, patience, endurance, commitment, faithfulness. And Mother Teresa comes to mind also. Remember a great woman of faith? They say now that for the last number of years of her life, she was going through some type of a depression or a spiritual desolation. I'm not quite sure. It depends on the author. They're not quite sure what to call it, but she really wasn't getting a lot of comfort in her prayer. She spent hours before the Blessed Sacrament. I prayed with her Sisters of Charity during that beatification. I was my mom and I went into their chapel and prayed with them. They'd on their knees before the Blessed Sacrament. She said that's why they had so many vocations, because of prayer. But she didn't give up. She stayed faithful. And so, you know, I've said many things here this morning, but basically what I wanted to impress upon you is that your prayers matter, and that God does hear you, and he answers your prayers. And it's very important. But you've got to pray wisdom prayers, according to his will, not according to your flesh. Let the Spirit who lives within you, and I'll talk tonight about that, the Spirit is within you, let the Spirit lead you and guide you and pray through you, help you, if you will. Because remember what we heard, this is Paul's thing in Romans 8, we don't know how to pray as we ought, he said, but the Spirit helps us to pray. So, you know, maybe the beginning of your prayer, just say, Holy Spirit, help me. Then take a deep breath and then pray some wisdom prayers and according to God's will. And I think God will really answer those. And stay faithful. Whether you feel anything or not, it's not all about that. It's about praising God. God is our life. We love him. And remember what love is. It's generosity. It's quality time. It's words of affirmation toward people and toward God. And that's really, really important. So let me end with these beautiful words of Paul to Philippians, his beloved Philippian community. He said, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And may Almighty God bless you, revolutionize your prayer life, and may you see manifestations of your prayer, the comfort of God, and may God's will be done in your life.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.